The importance of conscience in the Quran. The text is based on the book The Importance of Conscience in the Quran by Harun Yahya. In this program, we are going to talk about a voice that always inspires justice, good manners, humility, honesty, sincerity, and all that is most righteous. This voice, though you may be unaware of it, is always with you wherever you go. To whom does this voice belong? You may then ask. Well, this voice belongs to you. It is within you. It is the voice of your conscience. The word conscience is very common and much used. However, the actual meaning of the word, its importance in the true religion, how a really conscientious person behaves, and what separates him or her from other people are not so well known in general. Conscience is limited to the meaning acknowledged by society. According to popular belief, those who do not, for example, dump rubbish in the streets, who give money to beggars and take care of stray animals are shown as example of conscientious people. However, the actual meaning of the word conscience is far more subtle and comprehensive than the meaning attached to it by society. The purpose of this program is to introduce the real meaning of conscience as exemplified in the Quran and to draw attention to the importance of conscience in life after death. We will provide you with the necessary information to identify the voice of your conscience and distinguish it from the other voices and suggestions coming from within you. We will also explain how someone who acts upon his conscience can attain the purest state. Conscience is a spiritual quality that bids man good attitude and thought and helps him think straight and tell right from wrong. One of the important aspects of conscience is that it is common to all people. In other words, what feels right to the conscience of a man also feels right to the conscience of others, provided that the same conditions prevail. The conscience of one man never falls out with that of another. The reason lies in the source of conscience. It is the inspiration of Allah. Through the conscience, Allah allows us to know the best and the most beautiful behavior and manners which will please Him for us to adopt. The conscience is an inspiration from Allah is mentioned in the Quran in Surah Ash-Shams. And the self and what proportioned it and filled it with both its debauchery and its sense of duty. He who purifies it has succeeded. He who covers it up has failed. Surah Ash-Shams 7-10. In the above verses, Allah declares that He has inspired the self with debauchery and also a sense of duty, that which inspires a person to be on guard against wrong action. It is this very sense of duty or conscience that makes man guard against evil deeds and find the right way. Conscience will surely show man what is right, even if nobody else will. However, what matters for man is to take recourse to his own conscience, listen to what it says, and act upon it. For this reason, we can say that conscience is the main component of religion. Every man, from the moment of gaining consciousness, is responsible for what his conscience tells him. From the moment he starts to perceive the events around him and become able to judge for himself, he is expected to possess and be able to exercise the ability to hear and distinguish the voice of his conscience, and to have the will to follow it. From this point forward, he will be questioned about the actions he takes in the course of his life. If he follows his conscience, he will be rewarded with an eternal life in Allah's heaven. But if he follows his self, he will meet an eternally sealed vault of fire. The first thing that a man who follows his conscience will do is to question and explore the things he sees around him. A man who has developed a good sense of perception will easily see that he lives in a world created flawlessly, contained within a perfect universe. Let us ponder for a moment the environment and the conditions that we are living in. Even the systems in the human body alone are overwhelming in their perfection. While listening to this program, your heart beats constantly without fail. Your skin renews itself. Your lungs clean the air you inhale. And your liver and kidney purify your blood. Man lives unaware of thousands of other activities taking place within him, even not realizing how some of them take place. The man who considers these things one by one will sooner or later question how he himself and the universe he lives in came into existence and how they are maintained. When he investigates it, two alternative explanations will present themselves: creation or evolution. One of these explanations tells us that the whole universe, planets, stars, and all living things came into existence on their own as a result of a series of coincidences. It claims that freely floating atoms, which are the smallest units of matter, came together by chance to form cells, humans, animals, plants, stars, and all the flawless and extremely complex structures and systems which surround and amaze us. The other alternative tells us that everything we see is created by a creator who has superior wisdom and power over everything, that nothing could possibly have come into existence by mere chance, and that all the systems around us are planned and designed by a creator. This creator is Allah. However, someone who does not refer to his own conscience cannot have the same awareness. This awareness is achieved through wisdom, and wisdom is a spiritual quality that comes about only when one follows one's conscience. Any attitude displayed in accordance with conscience helps build up and develop wisdom. Here, however, special attention must be paid to the definition of wisdom. Contrary to its common use, wisdom is a different concept from intelligence. A man, no matter how intelligent and knowledgeable he is, will still be unwise if he does not refer to his conscience and is unable to see or comprehend the facts he comes across. An example can elucidate the difference between intelligence and the wisdom attained through conscience. A scientist may carry out very detailed research about the cell for years. He may even be the best in his field. However, if he is lacking in wisdom and conscience, he will only retain fragments of knowledge. He will not be able to fit these fragments together to form a whole. In other words, he will not be able to draw correct conclusions from this body of information. A man with wisdom and conscience, however, perceives the miraculous aspects and perfect details of a cell and acknowledges the hand of a creator, a designer with a superior wisdom. If a man thinks with his conscience, he will arrive at this conclusion. The power that creates a cell with such perfection must also be the creator of all other living and non-living beings. Everyone who thinks sincerely without involving his passions and only by employing his conscience can comprehend the existence and glory of Allah. The signs of Allah's existence are very clear and manifest for all to see. Everyone knows the existence and eternal power of Allah in his conscience. However, someone who acknowledges the existence of Allah and perceives his power also knows that he will be answerable to him and that he must obey his rules and live for him. He who insists on rejecting, despite his awareness of these facts, does so because accepting this great fact is not in compliance with his interests. In the Quran, these people are described in Surah Al-Naml. They repudiated them wrongly and haughtily, in spite of their own certainty about them. See the final fate of the corruptors. Surah Al-Naml, 14. The above situation applies not only to a certain section of society, but to many people at large. A man may be a distinguished scientist with many discoveries to his name. He may be a successful businessman or an artist. He may also be rich, cultivated, and intelligent. However, if he does not employ his conscience to think of Allah and thank Him, none of these will be of any use to him after he dies. It should not be forgotten that many people lived in the past who were famous in their time for their discoveries and their wealth. Today, even their names are unknown. Even if they are remembered, it is of no benefit to a person who is dead. These people paid no attention to the commandments of Allah, nor did they acknowledge His power or appreciate the favors He bestowed upon them. They went astray because their hearts were sealed and their consciences covered. In the Quran, Allah describes those who transgress in pursuit of their own interests and passions. Have you seen him who takes his whims and desires to be his God, whom Allah has misguided knowingly, sealing up his hearing and his heart, and placing a blindfold over his eyes? Who then will guide him after Allah? So will you not pay heed? They say, there is nothing but our existence in the life of this world. We die and we live, and nothing destroys us except for time. They have no knowledge of that. They are only conjecturing. Surah Al-Jathiyah, 23-24. Someone who realizes through his conscience that a creator exists will reach the conclusion that if Allah created such a flawless universe and provided man with a consciousness to comprehend it, then he would not have left him idle. He would definitely have established some sort of communication with these intelligent beings he created and presented himself to them. Furthermore, Allah, who created everything, would definitely have created them for a purpose and let this purpose be known to them. Everything has a duty. The sky is like a ceiling that protects the planet. Cells are there to constitute life. Rain brings bounty. In short, man can see that everything we can and cannot count here is created for a special purpose. Man then asks himself, if I am created into such a perfect and flawlessly planned world, and I will die in a short while, then what is the purpose of my existence here? And he seeks an answer to this question. He is not satisfied by the pieces of information he has heard from other people. He understands through his conscience that information provided by people can be insufficient or misleading. He naturally thinks that the best guide to reach Allah is the book he revealed. Consequently, he takes the Quran, the last book Allah sent and which he protected, as his guide. He who reads the Quran will find the answer for the purpose of his creation. In the Quran, this purpose is stated as follows. I only created jinn and man to worship me. Surah Al-Dariyat, 56-58. The purpose of man's life on this earth is his being tested. He who created death and life to test which of you is best in action. He is the Almighty, the Ever-Forgiving. Surah Al-Mulk, 62. He who reads the above verses will immediately think about his own life, as well as the life of others. Most of the people around him are constantly rushing and struggling for the life of this world. They have very detailed plans, all concerning worldly things, the school they will go to, the job they will get, their marriage, their children, the house they will live in, how high their salary is, what presents they will get on their birthday, the holidays they will go on, etc. Everyone has such plans and goals in mind, though, interestingly enough, no one takes the time to think of the real purpose of their presence in the world. On the other hand, a man thinking with his conscience sees that these people are falling into a dangerous state of negligence. Thus, he comes to realize that other people cannot be a reference for him and takes the Quran as his only guide. The person who comes to realize that he was brought into the world to be tested by Allah will then move on to another stage of thought. Then death cannot be the end. If we are tested in this life, there must also be a result to this test. However, there is no result in the life of this world. Amongst all the people who have lived in the past, there were tyrants, dissolute people, and murderers, as well as the messengers of Allah and other people of very high conscience who dedicated their whole lives to Allah. There were also poor and miserable people who were subjected to oppression. Those in the past are now all dead and gone. Both the good and the bad are buried in their graves. Allah, the owner of eternal justice, would not let the life of this world be resolved in this way. In short, man's conscience will tell him that Allah's eternal conscience will pay every person in full for what he or she has done. Since the accounts are not completely settled in this world, then there must be a place to where this is deferred. People who think through their conscience will also find the answer in the Quran. Allah states in the Quran that He has deferred the settling of the account until after death, when everyone will be fully paid for the things they have done in this world. Your Lord will pay each of them in full for his actions. He is aware of what they do. Surah Hud 1:11. Everyone pursues plans they will benefit from in the life of this world, but none of these plans concern death or the hereafter. Death, however, is a reality far more absolute than all of these planned events. Man has a soul, and the soul does not disappear. After man dies, a new life starts for his soul. But has he ever happened to wonder what kind of a new life awaits him? Like the majority of people, he too may have never thought about such things. This is because thinking about them makes people feel horrified. They try to avoid these facts as much as possible. When this subject is brought up, they immediately close it and even try to dismiss its impact on them with jokes or flippant remarks. Why then do almost all people try so strongly to escape this reality which is certain to happen one day? Will ignoring prevent it from happening? Of course it will not. The reason people avoid thinking about death and the hereafter is that it prods their conscience into action, reminding them that they are answerable to Allah and that they will give an account of their actions after death. At the moment of conscience awakes, everything that has been done until then loses its importance, and man comes to realize the subjects that are really important. Think of this situation for yourself also. Death may come to you when you are least expecting it, and most likely you will have no chance to make any preparations. It could be now, or it could be in a few moments, or at any similar moment a few years hence. You may have seen someone die, but what you have seen is the death of the body. There is also the experience that the soul goes through during death, which can only be witnessed by the person undergoing it. Onlookers will only see the dying of the body, which may appear very peaceful in the case of someone dying naturally in his bed, or indeed, agonizing in the case of a victim of a car accident or disease. However, the death of the soul, that is, what it goes through during death, is very different from what it seems to be. If the person who dies is a believer, then his soul is taken with ease, and he is given the glad tidings by two angels that he will start his marvelous eternal life. This person is neither frightened nor full of grief, for he possesses the immeasurable joy of knowing that he will be in happiness and peace for eternity. This fact is stated in the Quran as follows. Those the angels take in a virtuous state, they say, "Peace be upon you. Enter the garden for what you did." Surah Al-Nahl 32. In the case of a man who has not lived his life in accordance with Allah's approval, no matter how his body dies, what his soul experiences will be the beginning of a life full of torment. Allah warns these people in the Quran. How will it be when the angels take them in death, beating their faces and their backs? Surah Muhammad 27. For these reasons, trying to visualize the moment of death in your mind's eye will cause you to behave with 100% sincerity and conscientiousness. You too will certainly experience the moment of death. Think this moment as the moment of your death. What will become important and what will become meaningless to you? What will you regret having done or not having done? Whose advice will you wish you had taken? Whom will you wish you had never met? Think what will make you feel regret when your entire life in this world is brought right in front of you in such a manner. For what kind of things will you say, "I wish I had not done it," or "I wish I had done it"? The irreparable regret on that day is expressed in a verse in the Quran. That is the true day. So whoever will should take the way back to his Lord. We have warned you of an imminent punishment on the day when a man will see what he has done, and the unbeliever will say, "Oh, if only I were dust." Surah Al-Naba 39-40. Yet in the Quran it is said that regret and remembrance on that day will be of no use. By that time, everything will have ended. No longer will it be possible to make up for what had been done in the past. The gates of hell will be locked behind man forever. That day hell is brought near. The day man will remember, but how will the remembrance help him? He will say, "Oh, if only I had prepared in advance for this life of mine." That day no one will punish as Allah punishes, and no one will shackle as He shackles. Surah Al-Fajj 23-26. All men, even the most astray ones, will be able to see very clearly everything that their conscience tells them at the moment of death and while giving account. But since return is no longer possible, they will not be able to correct their situation by following their conscience. The purpose of this program is to reveal to people their conscience while there is still time, and to invite them to live a life by which they can make up for their past and feel no regret in the hereafter. He who acts on his conscience comes to recognize another great error of man. The majority of people think that religion is a belief that covers only a small portion of one's life, that it is something to be remembered only on certain days, and that nothing is related with it except some rituals of worship. On the contrary, in the Quran, it is stated that man's whole life, along with all acts of worship, must be for Allah. Say, "My prayer and my devotions, my living and my dying are for Allah alone, the Lord of all the worlds." Surat Al-An'am 162. This means that in all his words, decisions and actions, man must pay attention to whether Allah is pleased with him or not. If he thinks that something is not pleasing to Allah, then he must totally avoid it. He who decides to live all his life for Allah once again turns to his conscience in order to find out how to please Allah. In the Quran, Allah has made clear all his orders and the deeds that he forbids. First of all, one who acts upon his conscience strictly observes these orders and forbidden deeds. He pays the highest attention to the deeds that are approved and forbidden, and practices all the orders he reads in the Quran. He takes the models of good behavior communicated in the Quran as a guide to himself. He acts with extreme sincerity and fulfills everything written in the Quran to the best of his understanding and means. We may give an example to this. He who reads the Quran will see that Allah orders people to carry out certain rituals of worship. One of these is to practice regular prayers. In a verse, prayer is commanded as follows: Keep up prayer. Prayer is prescribed for the believers at specific times. Surah Al-Nisa, 103. The conscience of everyone who reads this verse will tell him to stand for prayers. Indeed, right now it has been reminded to those who listen to this cassette that regular prayer is obligatory. The person may either practice what his conscience and the Quran require of him, or he may avoid practicing the commands of the Quran by making various excuses. It must, however, never be forgotten that whatever excuse one may find for not keeping up prayer, this excuse will not be accepted in the hereafter. In another verse, Allah asks man to act justly, whatever the conditions and circumstances may be. You who believe, show integrity for the sake of Allah, bearing witness with justice. Do not let hatred for people incite you into not being just. Be just. That is closer to taqwa. Have fear of Allah. Allah is aware of what you do. Surah Al-Ma'idah, 8. In order for someone to act on this verse properly, he has to control his anger even when he is most furious and give a just decision. The person he converses with may be someone whom he dislikes because of his manners and speech, and even someone against whom he bears a grudge. Regardless of whom that person may be, it is commanded from Allah to be just to everyone, and a conscientious person certainly fulfills this command. At first sight, someone who acts upon his conscience and always seeks Allah's good pleasure may seem to be no different to others. He too goes to work or school, does shopping, and enjoys himself. He, however, seeks Allah's pleasure in everything he does. One may wonder, how is it possible to seek Allah's good pleasure in the common, everyday actions one does? And how is it possible to remember Allah at every moment? Firstly, it must be stated that for someone who follows his conscience, the rituals of worship and Allah's commands are above everything else. He never forgets that Allah is always watching him. He never declines in honesty and never stoops to commit any act for which he will not be able to give account or be ashamed of in the hereafter. A believer never forgets that the only power that will give favor and prosperity is with Allah. He does not transgress by being spoiled with what he has. On the contrary, thanks Allah for every favor he grants him. As seen, conscience requires not only knowing Allah and accepting his existence, but also performing acts that will please him and paying great attention to this. The majority of people assume that believing in Allah's existence alone is sufficient. These people believe in the existence of Allah and even accept that Allah provides for them, that He gives life and death, and that He is the creator and owner of everything. They employ their conscience only so much as to have such an awareness and see this sufficient for their faith. Someone who makes full use of his conscience, however, feels a fear full of respect towards Allah, since he can grasp the sublimity of Allah. This fear is different from other fears experienced. This is the fear of losing Allah's approval. The whole life of a person who feels this fear passes solely by seeking to gain the Lord's pleasure. He does not set a limit to himself in drawing near to Allah. In the Quran, Allah shows Ibrahim as the example and says, "Who could have a better religion than someone who submits himself completely to Allah and is a good doer, and follows the religion of Ibrahim, a man of pure natural belief?" Allah took Ibrahim as an intimate friend. Surah Al-Nisa, 125. Someone who acts 100% upon his conscience will strive to draw near Allah and become his intimate friend. Since he can never be sure to have established the highest degree of friendship and nearness, his effort and willingness will continue until he dies. One may wonder, how is it possible to be near Allah? The key to this is again our conscience. Have a look at your surroundings. Everything around you is created according to the needs of mankind. Your body works perfectly without any thought from you. The heart does not forget to beat. nor do the nerves fail to transmit the necessary messages to your brain. You have a muscular and skeletal structure that helps you to move smoothly without giving it any thought at all. You can pick up and hold many items and walk or run great distances. In addition to the minimal functions for your survival, you can also feel very distinct senses for which you are given the required consciousness. The flavor of various kinds of food, the touch of fine material, the beauty of a view that you see, or the conversation of a friend can all please you. And you have a creator with superior power who has created all of these for you. He created you from nothing when you were nothing. Had he not willed, you would have remained as nothing. Yet Allah willed and created you in the shape of a human being. Only a few of the blessings Allah grants people can be mentioned here. To number all the favors of Allah would be impossible. In return for Allah's favors, the most important responsibility on our side is surely to thank Allah for all that He has given to us. In a verse it is said, Allah brought you out of your mother's womb, knowing nothing at all, and gave you hearing, sight, and hearts, so that perhaps you would show thanks. Surah Al-Nahl, 78. Man's continued existence is only possible through Allah's will, so it stands to reason that the most important being is Allah, and the most important subject will be to draw near to Him. Every conscientious act performed for Allah is a mean to draw near to Allah. It should not be forgotten that Allah gives the glad tidings of paradise to those who are near to Him. But the truth is that if he, the person to die, is one of those brought near, here is solace and sweetness and a garden of delight. Surah Al-Waqi'ah, 88-89. And the self, and what proportioned it and filled it with both its debauchery and its sense of duty. He who purifies it has succeeded. He who covers it up has failed. Surah Al-Shams, 7-10. The word fujur, debauchery, means to act in a sinful manner, to disobey, to be a deviator, to tell lies, to rise against, to turn away from righteousness, to stir up trouble, to decline in good manners. The concept of fujur contains all the negative aspects of man's self. An-nafs, the self, is an Arabic term frequently used in the Quran. It has no direct connotations in English, but can be translated as the self. It has the following implications in the Quran. The essence of something, itself, soul, heart, lust, the starting point and bed of desire and wrath, conscience, the commanding force in man. Here, we will particularly concentrate on the commanding quality of the self. This lower self can mislead people into believing that something which is bad is actually good. Another event where the effect of the self is highlighted is related in Surah Taha. Samiri, one of the people of Prophet Musa, peace be upon him, led astray a whole nation of people during Prophet Musa's short absence by making a statue of a calf from the gold he had collected from the people. When Prophet Musa returned and questioned Samiri, his reply was, he said, I saw what they did not see, so I gathered up a handful from the messenger's footprints and threw it in. That is what my inner self urged me to do. Surah Taha, 96. The verse shows how the negative indoctrination of the self steps in. Samiri's lower self persuaded him to commit this crime by showing it as a good and dragged him into evil. This is where we understand the importance of conscience in the ongoing test in this world. In every event, both good and evil sides of the self show up. Those who can distinguish between these two voices are the ones who follow their conscience and practice what is right. The choice between the conscience and the self is by no means difficult for man. This is because Allah created man with a disposition to take pleasure in following the voice of his conscience. For this reason, to follow the true religion and to live by it complies with man's nature. In the following verse, Allah states, "Set your face firmly towards the true religion as a pure natural believer, Allah's natural pattern on which He made mankind. There is no changing in Allah's creation. That is the true religion. But most people do not know it, turning towards Him." Surah Al-Rum, 30. The ease of following the conscience is stated in many verses in the Quran. It is also stated that Allah will show the easy way to those who pursue His pleasure. "Whoever has taqwa of Allah, He will make matters easy for him." Surah Al-Talaq, 4. "As for he who believes and acts rightly, he will receive the best of rewards, and we will issue a command, making things easy for him." Surah Al-Kahf, 88. "We will make it easy for you to follow the simple path." Surah Al-Alaq, 8. Why don't people follow their conscience in spite of knowing the truth? We may answer this question in this way. At the core of man's not following his conscience lies the weakness in his faith in Allah and the hereafter. This weakness leads to many moral disorders which make the person even less inclined to follow his conscience. The consciences of those who resist faith also know righteousness and the existence of Allah, but for various reasons do not follow the things which they acknowledge to be right. In the Quran, Allah states that people reject knowingly even though they understand and their conscience is convinced. So, how can someone recognize the truth but resist it so firmly and deliberately? Among the reasons for rejecting truth are vanity and arrogance, which are forms of self-conceit. Someone's seeing himself and all the beings around him as independent from Allah and his orienting all his manners and approach to this point of view is self-conceit. When someone sees himself as independent of Allah, he will think all his qualities are his own. However, all that he is and all that he possesses, his wealth, his body, all his beloved ones, his wisdom and knowledge, all belong to Allah. Allah can take them away as He wills. A person may lose all of his wealth all of a sudden. A healthy person may lose his health and become a weak person. In a verse, the following answer is given to the person who took all his possessions as belonging to himself. He said, "I have only been given it because of knowledge I have." Did he not know before him Allah had destroyed generations with far greater strength than his and far more possessions? The evildoers are not called immediately to account for their sins. Surah Al-Qasas, 78. Self-conceit prevents one from seeing clearly. A self-conceited person thinks that he does everything by his own power. He does not think of his weakness and that he needs Allah. This arrogance prevents him from accepting what his conscience knows to be true. His accepting Allah's existence would also mean accepting the dominance of a more superior being than himself, submitting to him and being his servant. By doing so, he will have confirmed that nothing is from himself and that he needs Allah's help in everything. We have talked thus far about the dangers that can be present in everyone's self. It would be a great mistake for someone to think of the examples given here as if belonging to a third person, and not to take them upon himself. Therefore, everyone needs to avoid arrogance and should not forget their dependence on Allah. Another reason for people's not following their conscience is their weak will. To display the good manners prescribed by the true religion requires a serious effort of will. One must always think, "How can I do better? How can I be more humble, more forbearing, more affectionate, more concerned, more solicitous to the believers?" What more can I do to explain Allah's religion to the people, to summon them to good behavior, sincerity, and honesty? How can I turn them away from their straying beliefs and actions? How can I draw near to Allah? Just thinking about these questions is surely not enough. What is important is one's exerting the effort of will to practice these things constantly. Someone who only worries about his own comfort, who never makes sacrifices, and who does not take an interest in the conditions of the people around him, will never make the effort necessary to practice what his conscience dictates. Such weak-willed people find it too difficult to make a real effort to live by Islam, so they ignore it or postpone it indefinitely. In the Quran, Allah states that a serious effort is favored. But as for anyone who desires the hereafter and strives for it with the strivings it deserves, being a believer, the strivings of such people will find favor with Allah. Surah Al-Isra, 19. People put forward various excuses to evade following their conscience. Some people who are reluctant to follow the religion, for example, have developed a distorted rationale, thinking, "I have a pure heart." It's what's in your heart that matters. They believe that they will remain good people so long as they do not do anything serious like murder and theft. However, such people easily lie, gossip, and make fun of others. And they may display many bad manners like this. Yet, they think that what they do are harmless things. Trying to convince their conscience, they suppress the voice within themselves that urges righteousness. Despite neither performing the acts of worship nor following the code of good manners and behavior prescribed by Islam, they believe themselves to be very good and righteous people. Surely, this approach is both insincere and false. Unless the person follows his conscience, it is impossible for him to hope for a good recompense in the hereafter. With the mentality of, "I have a pure heart," he may be recognized as a good man in this world, but he may meet an unexpected repayment in the hereafter. Because being good requires being a good servant to Allah. In the Quran, Allah defines the real good people. It is not righteousness to turn your faces to the east or to the west. Rather, truly righteous are those who believe in Allah and the Last Day, the angels, the Book and the Prophets, and who, despite their love for it, give away their wealth to their relatives and to orphans, and the very poor, and to travelers and beggars, and to set slaves free, and who establish regular prayers and pay regular charity, those who honor their contracts when they make them, and are steadfast in poverty and illness and in battle. Those are the people who are true. They are the people who have taqwa. Surah Al-Baqarah, 177. Many people deceive themselves with the wrong rationale, saying, "There have been this many evil oppressors throughout history, so I do not deserve the same penalty, I suppose." The cause of this lies in their ignorance, in their not knowing Allah and the hereafter. Allah has created hell in degrees. Therefore, everyone will be repaid in accordance with what he or she did. Some people, on the other hand, hold the erroneous idea that this act is not specifically mentioned in the Quran, then it is all right to perform or neglect it at will. Yet, the Quran provides us with all the basic knowledge to carry out the true religion and gain Allah's good pleasure. A wise and conscientious person will sincerely try to live his life according to this guidance. For instance, in the Quran, Allah commands that believers not to waste time with vain pursuits. Even though the Quran may not specify exactly what pursuits are considered worthless, Allah has given conscience and wisdom to His sincere servants to find out what vain things are to be avoided by them. Every person is individually responsible for this. Following the majority is one of the greatest mistakes in life. In almost everyone's subconscious lies a belief that what the majority does is right. Some arrange their behaviors according to this majority. This, however, is a very mistaken attitude, because there is no evidence that the majority always holds the right view and makes the right decisions. On the contrary, Allah states in the Quran, "If you obeyed most of those on earth, they would misguide you from Allah's way. They follow nothing but conjecture. They are only guessing." Surah Al-An'am, 116. Therefore, the only guidance for a person in the way he lives and practices the Quran must be the conscience. Someone who acts upon the direction of his conscience never pays attention to what the majority says or does. Even if it means staying alone, he continues to listen to the voice of his conscience. The psychology of following the majority represents a danger for everyone. Once someone has decided to practice what his conscience dictates, the attitude and viewpoint of those around him should never affect him. Each and every one of us is responsible for practicing what conscience and the Quran dictate. It should not be forgotten that Allah tests His servants. Another person trying to convince us to give up a right decision we have taken may well be a close friend whom Allah has made us encounter to test our resolve. In the hereafter, however, people will say the following about such friends. "Alas for me! If I had not taken so-and-so for a friend, he led me astray from the reminder after it came to me. Satan always leaves man in the lurch." Surah Al-Furqan, 28-29. There is another mistake that people make. They say they believe in Allah and the Quran, yet postpone the practice of worship to old age. Putting off is true not only for acts of worship. In every event taking place during the course of daily life, the righteous acts commanded by conscience are put off. People always employ the reasoning, "Let me do it this way this time. I will correct it next time." However, on the day of account, Allah will make people face the things they put off. That day the only resting place will be your Lord. That day man will be told what he did and failed to do. Surah Al-Qiyamah, 12-13. Putting off is a trait peculiar to those people who do not think of death and how close it is. We do not know when, where, or how we will die. We all know that death does not only come to the old. Many people of all ages die from various causes, many of them sudden and unexpected. While listening to this cassette in the privacy of your own home or car, you may feel very safe and secure. But a fall down the stairs, an accident in the house, or a heart attack could bring about your death at any moment. Since people do not think of facing death suddenly, they put off performing the rituals of worship. However, Allah states that every man seeing the angel of death will feel a great remorse for the things he put off, and he will say, "I wish I had done such and such." This is an inconsolable remorse with no chance of return. Most people hold the belief that following their conscience will cause them to lose certain benefits. This is a great misconception, since Allah has promised an endless life in paradise to those who observe His commands and live by them. This is the greatest of all gains. In addition to this magnificent life that will continue forever, Allah states that believers will also live a good life in the world. Anyone who acts rightly, male or female, being a believer, we will give them a good life, and we will recompense them according to the best of what they did. Surah Al-Nahl, 97. In the world, Allah gives both material and spiritual prosperity to believers. There is a prevalent misconception that believers always live in poverty in the world. However, many verses in the Quran refer to the prosperity and power Allah gives to believers throughout history. In the 8th verse of Surah Al-Duha, Allah calls out to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Did he not find you impoverished and enrich you? Furthermore, in the Quran it is mentioned that Allah gave great kingdoms in this world to Prophet Suleiman, Prophet Dawood, Prophet Yusuf, Dhul-Qarnayn, and Prophet Ibrahim, may peace be upon them all. Prosperity, glory, and beauty are characteristics of paradise. The greatest aim of those who follow their conscience is to gain the pleasure and paradise of Allah. In order to remind them of paradise and to increase their desire for it, Allah gives people a certain amount of prosperity and splendor in the world. It is equally true that Allah may test others by withholding prosperity. True believers are pleased with what they have. Because they think of the hereafter, nothing makes them worried in the short life of this world. Under all circumstances, they thank Allah and are covetous of the hereafter. The most important blessing Allah bestows upon His true believers is spiritual well-being. They feel no distress in their hearts. They feel the peaceful and secure aspects of honesty and sincerity. Since they fear and revere no one but Allah, they do not experience feelings such as distress, worry, and fear. Their not having worldly ambitions, jealousies, and selfish feelings makes them happy, relaxed, and joyful. Allah gives to those conscientious people whom He has furnished with physical and spiritual beauties in the world the good news of paradise, their real home after their death. Paradise is a place where those people with the highest level of conscience come together. In paradise, no speech, look, or manner contrary to conscience will take place. The atmosphere in paradise will be ruled by the joy and happiness of those who have been recompensed according to the best of what they did, and this atmosphere will last forever. The beauty of paradise is recounted in Surah Yasin. The companions of the garden are busy enjoying themselves today, they and their wives reclining on couches in the shade. They will have fruits there and whatever they request. Peace, a word from a merciful Lord. Surah Yasin, 55-58. Those who do not follow their conscience lose both the world and the hereafter. They lose this world because they suffer great distress inside from not following the conscience. Whatever decision a person may make, his conscience never leaves him and always tells him the truth. Hearing the truth on one hand and not following it on the other causes a great twinge of conscience. This twinge of conscience is not like other forms of distress. It is a distress Allah has given to people in return for what they have done. Nevertheless, there are many who, despite the twinge of conscience they feel, carry on their resistance against righteousness. They try to silence the voice inside them by deferring, putting forward excuses, or talking themselves round, as we mentioned before. In the Quran, Allah describes the inner distress and spiritual void felt by those who do not follow their conscience and whose hearts are insensitive to Islam. As for anyone who associates others with Allah, it is as though he had fallen from the sky and the birds had seized him and carried him away, or the wind had dropped him in a distant place. Surah Al-Hajj, 31. When Allah desires to guide someone, He expands His breast to Islam. When He desires to misguide someone, He makes his breast narrow and constricted, as if he were climbing up into the sky. That is how Allah places a blight on those who have no belief. Surah Al-An'am, 125. Those who do not follow their conscience are condemned to be surrounded by people who do not follow their consciences. Around such people develops a distressing atmosphere. Those who do not practice the truth, despite their knowledge of it, who are averse to making sacrifices, who act unjustly, who envy, who ridicule others, who are arrogant, and who practice all kinds of similar bad habits will receive similar treatment in return. Such behavior creates an atmosphere of great restlessness in everyone. People cannot know what treatment to expect from one another. There cannot be real friendships, loyalty, or understanding, and self-sacrifice is never displayed. Thus, they live in an atmosphere of hell, both physically and spiritually. The eternal grief they may meet in the hereafter will be too horrible and dreadful to be compared to the one in this world. The recompense that will be given to those who act out wickedness in the world is stated as follows in the Quran. That day no one will punish as he punishes, and no one will shackle as he shackles. Surah Al-Fajj, 25-26. Special attention should be paid to another point, that just as conscientious people prepare their places in paradise, so do wicked people prepare their places in hell, but they are unaware of it. They ask you to hasten the punishment. If it were not for the stipulated term, the punishment would have come to them already. It will come upon them suddenly when they are not expecting it. They ask you to hasten the punishment, but hell already encircles the disbelievers. On the day the punishment envelops them from above them and from underneath their feet, Allah will say, "Taste what you were doing." Surah Al-Ankabut, 53-55. Death is not distant from any one of us. It is perhaps even closer than we think. We all have to organize our life according to this great truth, because after death, we will be judged according to the life we lived. Then everybody should work for his life in the hereafter. The only solution is to obey the commands of Allah by listening to the conscience. Otherwise, man will be plunged into an agony of remorse and hopelessness, which he will suffer for eternity. Throughout this program, many important facts have been told. Now, those who have listened to this program have two options: thinking and realizing all of this, or forgetting it without thinking at all. As a bad alternative, let us think that someone chose the second option. He did not follow his conscience and carried on with his worldly life. In a few years' time, he may not even remember a single word of this program. But Allah forgets nothing, and everything is recorded in His exalted presence. Whether a person follows his conscience or not is recorded every moment. On the day of account, all of them will be brought before Him. In truth, people are aware of these facts and can, with reference to their conscience, more or less understand what is right and what is wrong. However, they turn their backs on the truth and ignore it for the sake of their worldly interests. Whatever we do, our conscience will not leave us until we die. Conscience is the power that works totally out of our wills. It is Allah's voice that guides us to the right. We will all continue to hear this voice until we die, but those who do not follow this voice will taste the intense regret of it after they die. Accordingly, in the Quran, many examples are given from the conversations in the hereafter in which those in hell confess what they fail to do in life. Therefore, in truth, everyone knows what he must and must not do, and evading the conscience does no good. The conversations of the companions of hell is related in the Quran thus: "What caused you to enter into hell fire?" They will say, "We were not among those who prayed, and we did not feed the poor. We plunged with those who plunged, and denied the day of judgment until that which is certain came to us." The intercession of the interceders will not help them. What is the matter with them that they run from the reminder like panicked donkeys fleeing from a lion? In fact, each one of them wants to be given an unfurled scroll. No, indeed, the truth is they do not fear the hereafter. No, indeed. The Quran is truly a reminder to which everyone who wills may pay heed. Surah Al-Mutathir, 42-55. If you do not want to make this speech, listen to your conscience, follow your conscience, and do not pretend ignorance of the truth once it has been shown to you. The text is based on the book, The Importance of Conscience in the Quran by Harun Yahya.